Welcome back, and we are now with the Upper Marion Sanitary and Sewer Authority board members, and I'll turn the floor to them and allow them to introduce themselves first.
All right. Cool. Thank you for having me here. Diane Riley, chair, along with Jim Ruddy, our vice chair, representing the Sanitary and Stormwater Authority, which also includes residents Ed Campbell, who is our secretary, Lynn Fields, our treasurer, and Glenn Smith, our assistant secretary and treasurer. I'd like to summarize the biggest projects and decisions we've made throughout this last year, and Mr. Hickman, Director of Public Works, will follow up with details of his own. So for the last several years, our authority's attention is focused on one project in particular, the Mansell Mill Townhouse Development. Final agreements were put in place by last fall so construction could begin. And over the course of several years, we were in almost monthly discussions concerning an emergency access road, a shared property with Public Works, and a sewer treatment issue. It was finally resolved to everyone's satisfaction, thanks to the patience and perseverance of Mr. Hickman, Mr. Ciattone, our engineer, and Mr. Hamaday, our manager. They really kept at it, and it's my understanding that construction has begun. So last fall, going back to the last time we met in this joint meeting, last year, concerning our stormwater plan, Nathan Walker of Gannett Fleming and Nick Huriak, our finance director, reported to us that all residential homes had been logged into a stormwater database. They then moved on to the commercial properties, and they designed and sent out a notice to all residents alerting them to the new billing procedure that is not in place yet, and I'll explain that again, but would be put in place once our stormwater plan actually goes into effect. So unhappily, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has not yet rendered a legal opinion concerning the Westchester stormwater suit. So it's in the courts still. And therefore, we have been able to put any of our stormwater plans into operation as of this date. But we are told that hopefully this Supreme Court decision will come down soon. And once it does, and hopefully it'll be in our favor, we are ready to go with remediation plans. So we're all set. We just need that court decision. So in last fall, our authority approved a financial security agreement between the authority and the Bridgeview Development in Bridgeport for the relocation of our authority's force main through their property. That project required a lot of back and forth time for Mr. Hickman, Mr. Ciattone, and Mr. Hamaday again, accompanied by a number of setbacks. And I just want to thank them again for their ability to patiently work through repeated attempts to get this project completed, especially since it was in another municipality. As regards the topic of the sale of sewer systems, I wanted to specifically mention that because I know it had been an issue for several years ago. Our solicitor, Mr. Steve Hahn, reported to us last November that the Pennsylvania American Water Company had filed a second rate increase request in 9 months with the Public Utility Commission. And it became clear to us that this is a result of their acquisition of the Butler Area Sewer Authority. And once again, we feel as an authority vindicated in having recommended against selling our sewer system to any of the companies that were urging us to sell. And our sewer rates continue to be stable. I think these other communities are really finding the difficulties in having their rates go up often. And unless the PUC tells them they can't do it, that pressure is going to continue to be on those communities. So we feel good about that decision that we made. This year, I just wanted to mention that annually our authority discusses the cost of our tapping fee. And in 2023, so it was last January, our authority decided on a modest increase of our fee to $10,100 per EDU. And in March this year, for this year, we voted to leave it as it is with discussion that will be taken up again when discussing next year's budget in December. So we're trying to regularize our discussion of tapping fees so that we at least look at the fee on an annual basis and always assess compared to other communities in the state. This spring, we've had monthly discussions over the federal EPA and the state DEP requirements dealing with the subject of PFAS, the chemical limits, and we expect those conversations to continue throughout the year. We are continuing as an authority to review litigation efforts dealing with this very weighty issue. It's complicated, so every month we expect that we will get updates about what this township's responsibilities might have to be in the future. In April this year, Mr. Ciattone, our engineer, confirmed that our sewer system is utilizing just over half our capacity to process sewage, and therefore our system can easily handle the township's sewer needs long into the future. So you feel good about that.
Just
lots to feel good about with sewage.
Absolutely.
But our biggest project to date was a visit by many of us in December to the hydrothermal carbonization plant developed by the Somax company in Phoenixville. And they are processing biosolids now for the community, and I think a lot of you have heard about this already. So Mrs. Kenny and Mr. Hickman and I followed that visit up last month with a visit to the Villanova University. We met with a professor and other teachers and researchers of the engineering department. Villanova has been working closely with Phoenixville, and this visit cemented our understanding of just how this SOMAX installation could change our entire approach to the sewage processing that we need to do. And it will save a lot of money, the workload. It'll utilize an environmentally sound approach and involve surrounding communities who can work with us. This is a system that we have commissioned two studies for, and over the next few months, we will be reviewing the results of those studies for eventual consideration by you, the board. We are very excited about this, and I know some of the other authority members and I have said we're starting to talk about sewage at parties now. So it's become a big topic for us, and I think these two visits especially gave us a feeling that there is hope for the future, for the environment, and for Upper Marion in particular, but also because this is something that in the long run, especially because of climate and all of the issues around climate and the environment, that we as a community can seriously look to a very contemporary solution to a very difficult problem. And one of the things we've talked about in our authority is the fact that landfills have been closing throughout the state and surrounding areas. And that is something we don't want to have happen before. You know, we want plans in place before that happens and somebody says you can't come here anymore. So that project is a very big deal to us, and we'll come back to you about that in later months. So just to wrap up my part of this, I just wanted to announce that the Sunny Hill Farm Community Rain Garden Project is back on track. Thank you to Public Works. And you're all invited to come and dig around and put some plants in, because I think there are 3,000 more plants that are coming. And that will be on April 27th. That's a project that a number of us helped get started. So we're very proud of that. I'd also like to extend a heartfelt thank you to our finance director, Nick Huriak, for patiently answering our questions every month and sitting through many lengthy meetings while we discussed hydrochar, PFAS, legal issues, and many more issues that had nothing to do with finances. We wish him well in his new position. I also want to offer a big thank you to Supervisor Carol Kenny. Our supervisor liaison has been pushing us as authority members to always explore every avenue of some very weighty topics that include legal and engineering subjects. Yeah, it's all very complicated, and we're volunteers, but Carol has really said, let's go visit, let's go talk to professors, let's go to universities, and I think a lot of us are, we feel connected in a lot of ways because she has been there right with us the whole time. And I know all of you go to a lot of meetings and have to travel to a lot of places to keep up with all this information. But she's been fun to work with, and I feel like it's been my privilege to have gotten to know how this town works and how this authority works. And we take our responsibility very seriously. And I hope Upper Marion appreciates everything that everybody's doing to make sure that the town runs so well and that we spend the community's money wisely. So thank you very much. And I'll turn it over to our Public Works Director, Mr. Edwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the board. I always enjoy the opportunity to be able to talk about and really brag about what the authority is accomplishing on behalf of Upper Marion. What you see before you is the list of the capital projects that we have underway right now, totaling almost $4 million, where we're trying to make improvements to our collection system and our two treatment plants. I'll run through some of these just to give you an understanding of what they entail, how much they cost, and the progress that we're making at each one. First, we've got the Trout Run WPCC interior renovations. This is an existing facility that dates back to the 1960s, and so this is the first major renovation in its 60-year history. It's going to provide office spaces for several staff members, a conference room that can be used by the general public. We will be making it an ADA-compliant facility for the first time in its history, and locker rooms for the workers there. And we will have both male and female lockers. Right now, it's basically an all-male facility. The next project that we have is the Sweetsburg Pump Station upgrades. This is our kind of a legacy pump station, unlike any other. It's completely underground. With this upgrade project, we're going to upgrade the pumps, the motors, the controls. We will have an above ground structure that will house all those outside the floodplain. And we're looking forward to being able to remotely monitor the flows from that pump station. Next, we have the copper effluent limitation study. I will go into that in a little more detail on our following slide, but we've been under discussions with DEP for our NPDES permits. We have appealed them, and we've been working through that for quite some time, but it does look like they wish to enforce some more stringent copper regulations, and to that end, we may need to undertake a study. If and when the final permit is issued, that's when the study would commence. Next, we have, due to the age of some of the buildings we have here at Trout Run, the incinerator building does contain asbestos. We and the authority had already undertaken a project to renovate the incinerator building at Matsunk. Thankfully, there was no asbestos there, but at Trout Run, we found asbestos-containing brick that lines the incinerator itself. For those that may not know, once upon a time, we used to incinerate the sludge until the cost for the heating oil operating the incinerator grew too expensive. And from that time, which is roughly the mid-80s until present, we've been landfilling our sludge. So this is an opportunity for us to remove the asbestos. We've got a design phase underway right now with Remington Vernick, the township engineer. And then later this year, we hope to undertake the abatement project itself. Phase two of the Candlebrook sanitary sewer main repairs. This has been an ongoing project for several years. This section of the township, we do experience inflow and infiltration in our sanitary sewer pipes. And so we have been splitting these into kind of like two projects. The pipes that are not severely damaged, we're able to line. It's called cured in place pipe lining. And we use a CoStars vendor for that, AM Liner East. We did that a little over a year ago, and we're gonna continue the second phase with that. For the portions of the pipe that are too significantly damaged, those are ones where we have to do a complete cut and replace. That is more expensive. So grand total, we're looking at $1.1 million for this venture. Roughly $400,000 goes to the pipe lining, and the balance goes to replacing the rest of the pipe. There is a third phase that is in design right now. The third phase will be the final phase for this particular neighborhood, and then we will basically do the same effort over at the Valley Forge Homes neighborhood in Upper Marion. We, the largest other project that we have underway is the clarifier drives and telescopic valves. The clarifier drives are some of our main process equipment at the treatment plants, and each of them is over 30 years old at the end of their service life, and so we need to realign the tanks of the clarifiers and then replace the drives and the catwalks themselves. We have that to the tune of over $800,000. LB Industries has recently just started on that. We've been waiting for materials to arrive, and that's also why several of these date all the way back to 2021, where the design and engineering took place, and then from that point till now, we've been waiting for some materials to arrive on site. We've had some pumps that took between 12 and 18 months to arrive, so it's been a challenge, despite the fact that we've moved past the global pandemic. The last item that I'll mention, and I'll just tack on briefly to what Mrs. Riley already mentioned, the biosolids reduction study. One of our largest cost drivers for what we do in wastewater is disposing of sludge. And we're trying to find a better way. And we think that what Phoenixville has done might be one of those solutions. It's certainly worth exploring. What that process does, HTC, hydrothermal carbonization, it basically transforms your wastewater sludge into a hydrochar. It can be used as an inert material that can get landfilled, or you can use it as a soil amendment, or even as a construction additive for concrete or asphalt shingles. In my opinion, its highest use is you are able to use it as an energy source in order to power your plant. All of these items are on the table. It's what the authority is looking to analyze through this. But the authority also didn't want to put all of their eggs in one basket. And to that end, they've also engaged Arrow to look at competing alternatives that might still be able to, you know, reduce the volume of our sludge and thereby reduce our disposal costs and find other environmentally friendly ways of handling this this processed material. The next thing that I'd like to mention are just our NPDES permits. This has been an ongoing saga for several years. Our permits expired in June of 2018, and then they were administratively extended by DEP for 2 years. In November of 2021, DEP issued draft permits that did apply more stringent requirements on the authority. The following month, we issued an appeal, and from that point till now, we've really been engaged in discussions with DEP, trying to demonstrate why we feel some things are too onerous or are not warranted. And we are now entering into kind of like the discussion of settlement phase, and probably by the end of 2024, that process will play out. And then the last item that I just wanted to mention, and also this is something that Mrs. Riley noted in her presentation, the stormwater phase. Just to remind the members at home or listening in, this has been, you know, almost a six-year process now. The township undertook a stormwater management plan through Gannett Fleming, and the initial iteration was based on a 10-year storm event. And then they transitioned to expand that to a 25-year stormwater event. And armed with that information, the authority then undertook a stormwater RFP to analyze what a program would look like here. Over the course of 2021, the authority looked at things like, what are the objectives for a stormwater program? How would the rate be structured? What size capital program would we be able to enact? And once that was complete, they brought it to the public. And that was what we spent all of 2022. We reached out to stakeholders from either the business community, also our residential areas. We held public forums here in the township building. And then at the end of 2022, the authority did vote to enact the fee. However, the very following month, a court case was handed down that effectively invalidated stormwater fees, and it's under appeal right now. We anticipate that it will be heard at the state Supreme Court later this year, but that date has not yet been announced. And then the last thing, we're trying to blitz the township and make everyone aware, flushable wipes are not flushable. And so if you're seeing that, whether it's in the township lines, our e-newsletter, in our social media channels, we're really trying to get the word out that it damages domestic pipes and it damages our process equipment and makes it harder for the township to meet its obligations. So save your pipes, don't flush wipes.
Nice.
And that's all I have, pending any questions that the board may have.
Would you like to call
us? I just want to thank you guys for all of your hard work. And Jeff, you're the one who first set us on. You sent an email out to me and to Diane about the HTC process at Phoenixville. So you're the one that lit that fire under us. And Diane and Jim and the other members of the board have just been really great to work with. They ask great questions. They have great ideas. And I tell people that I'm liaison to the sewer. It used to be just the sewer authority. And I said, oh, I love sewers. But now with the sewer and stormwater, I love it even more. I wound up getting an estimate on a car repair today. And I wound up telling the guy all about the Phoenixville plant. I don't know what he thinks of me. But it's exciting, some of these things. And let me just point out one thing that you didn't mention, how much it costs yearly for sludge removal to a landfill. It's over $600,000 a year, $600,000 a year. Even if we go to possibly the HTC process, that'll cut it down by about 60 or 70%. So we would, if we do nothing else, we save hundreds of thousands of dollars in just sludge removal. And along with that, there's an anecdote that I like to tell people that the state of Maine, in its infinite wisdom, passed a law saying they may not put sludge in landfills. So they found themselves for several months until they changed the law back. They were taking their sludge to Canada, to Nova Scotia, because they were not allowed. And Maine's a big state. It has a lot of unused land. Well, anyway, so that's my story with that. And the other thing, you mentioned the stormwater fee. The problem with that, we really hope that the state Supreme Court will find against Westchester University and in favor of borough or the town city of Westchester. Because what the fee does is spread out the cost of stormwater remediation among every single landowner in the town. This means that churches, schools, tax-exempt organizations, and so on, that have lots of buildings and lots of parking lots and lots of impervious spaces, who are adding to our stormwater problems, will also receive a request to pay this fee. If the state comes along and says we cannot call it a fee, then that means we will have to tax. It'll have to be a tax, but then those tax-exempt companies and organizations who contribute to the problem will not be part of the solution, and more of the burden will go onto the non-exempt property owners. So we are really hoping that the judgment comes down from the Supreme Court in favor of the city or borough, whatever it is, of Westchester. The borough of Westchester, and goes against Westchester University. And it's really ironic because back in 2009, I went to my first environmental conference at Westchester University, and they were bragging how they had geothermal and solar panels there, and they were in the forefront of environmental sustainability issues. And we're doing a lot there. So I find it really ironic that they're the ones that are bringing this lawsuit against the borough of Westchester. So
We really want to get started.
We do.
I mean, we know the rains are coming.
We do. And we are trying to make it as easy as possible for our residents in particular to spread the cost fairly, more fairly than if it's a tax. So that's my two cents.
Well, I think, I hope you understand our excitement. Somehow these topics have invigorated us. No, I think we just, as a group, we just want things to work better.
Yeah.
And we feel like we're moving closer and closer to interesting and innovative ideas. And we would like to be able to brag that Upper Mary was the first at a lot of things. And this is one of the things.
But we'll be second.
We'll be second according to
Phoenixville. But I think the other thing is that it's a good thing for our residents to take our sewer system for granted because it works so well and it's run so well. So once you have a problem and you realize, oh, it's not working well, then you don't want that. You want our citizens to not think about the sewer system. That's up to us. And yeah, so we want it to be invisible and take it for granted that it's doing so well.
Thank you for all your work on that.
Yes.
Well, I have a great team. You know, Rob McKernan, Chief of Wastewater, is absolutely fantastic. And he's worked for the township for almost half a century. I mean, that kind of experience is just unparalleled. You don't find that anywhere else. And when I think of the lead operators, Dan Ledgerton for the collection system, you know, Mark Bale and Matt DeSimone, these are guys that every day, every weekend, they're making sure that things are flowing the right way. So it's a special, you know, thank you that I like to, you know, give to them for all the work that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that.
I was happy to hear you give the capacity number that we're at about 50%, mm-hmm. that I hear different numbers back and forth, and I didn't really know what was accurate and where we were. So even if it's a little over 50%, so we have room to grow, we have room for more businesses to come in, more houses to be built, et cetera, and we're okay. Then if we're only at 50%, we're good. So I was happy to hear that number.
Yeah, I think that's why we were approached to sell our system, because we are efficient and we're doing very well. We have capacity. And that's a number we get every spring. So, and we just got that at this last meeting. So definitely wanted to share that with everybody, because I think townspeople don't always hear statistics like that. And so I think that's an important, as a resident, to understand that this town is in very good shape, at least as it concerns this particular area.
Yeah. So. I was also glad to hear that you're evaluating the EDUs annually. That I know that was neglected for many, many years in the past.
It was. And the tapping fees were neglected
the tapping
as well.
And we were on top of that. So yeah. I'm glad that you're evaluating. Not that it has to be raised every year, but that you're just looking at it. Right. And do you have a comparison for the stats for other municipalities of where we are?
Yes. We've been regularly getting those numbers.
You're middle of the road.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
I represent an authority that is about $14,900 some odd dollars.
Tapping fee.
And then there's another one that's about $8,000. What most people don't realize is the tapping fee is the only way that a municipal authority can raise the capital it needs to be able to replace pipe and that type of stuff, where your public utilities don't have tapping fees. But then again, you're paying 3 to 4 to 5 times in some cases more for the service than you are from the municipality. So it's a much better deal for residents or ratepayers than having a public utility take over the system.
Yep.
We have quite a gem here.
We do.
It's all due to our folks and our volunteers.
And we're maintaining it. We're repairing it. We're keeping it up and painting when it needs to be painted and replacing when we need to. So.
Especially when you consider that some of our pipes are made of clay.
Yes.
What was going on at Candlebrook?
Is it true that we have any pipes that are made of wood?
Or no?
If we have any, it would be in Sweetsburg.
Sweetsburg, yeah. I didn't know if that was a urban legend, course.
We had discussed that a couple of years ago. Yeah. You had said that we still have some logs out there.
They must be concrete by now.
Did you have?
I just had one thing. This past week, while we were attending our annual supervisors conference, several of us attended a session for large municipalities. And the number one point of discussion was the sale of sewer systems. Mm-hmm. And we heard a horror story where the sale to a firm that we know, they had raised their rates to $600 plus per month.
How is that possible?
How can people afford that?
They did it. That's all we know. And it was a known issue. So it was the buzz, let me tell you, for a while. I also think, though, that our population has to understand that this is one of those systems where you can't keep the cost the same forever, and the costs aren't going to drop. There are infrastructure costs that you have every year that grow. There are salaries and wages and et cetera that grow every year. So while we try to manage it as best we can, you can't expect it to stay stable for decades, and you can't expect it to go down either. But it doesn't need a six-fold increase either. Yeah. And I think that's what we would have seen if we would have sold our system and made the right decision.
Yeah.
There was somebody, I think it was you, I'm not sure, at Sweetland and Sweetsburg, they said the sewer pipes might be 100 years old over there.
Yeah.
And I thought, if we had no money in the kitty at that time, then we have to start getting some money.
Well, and I think I always feel good that when Jeff comes to us and says we need to replace something, that just means that the town is on much safer ground. Because, I mean, just like our houses, when you replace pipes, you replace pumps and make sure things work. The last thing we need is a big storm and things back up it's going to be unhealthy and scary for residents. Right. So
that's why it's so important for you to look at your tapping fee every year, because it's what funds your capital improvements.
Right.
I mean, yes. So that as well as we maintain our plants, they're all in their yesterday's technology, whereas the thing you're looking at in the borough of Phoenixville is tomorrow's technology.
Right.
So,
I'm
keeping with what was the Supervisor Janeway is talking about. If I can keep up with the times and try to do that. So your tapping fee is going to be kind of where it's at, as well as your rates.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the presentation and that information, all the information. And I'll repeat, the save your pipes, don't flush wipes, the new mantra that we all want to take responsibility for what you're putting down those pipes. And thank you again for being here. And we're going to take a brief recess right now, and then we'll reconvene and we'll be meeting with the Media Communications Advisory Board. And thank you again.